Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations. Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn. Ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn. Tell people to stay off the lawn. Compare it to your neighbor's lawn. And complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance. Which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
When we go out to eat, we never agree on where to go.
I want burgers!
Pizza!
Tacos it is.
The one thing we do agree on is we all want unlimited high-speed data. That's why we switched to MetroPCS.
Stop by MetroPCS with the whole family and get four lines with unlimited LTE data for just $100, period. MetroPCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Offers require porting of number not currently active on T-Mobile network. During congestion, the fraction of customers using more than 35 gigs per month may notice reduced speeds. Video streams at up to 40p. No tethering. See store for details and terms and conditions.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast arena. Coming to the ring at this time...
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
First, representing this week in Geek, and from parts unknown, he is Mike, the Birdman, Don.
I am one hard...
And now, an ad from Dad.
All right, save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive.
Can I take these off?
All right. What is this? This looks good.
Wow. That's well made.
Where did you get this? I'm talking to you, with the hair. Yeah, where did you get this? It's good stuff. That's solid. That's not veneer. That's solid stuff.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
His tag team partner, representing the Geekcast Radio Network, and hailing from the outer reaches of your mind, he is... Mike, TFG1 Blanchard.
I got four words for you. Check out my ass.
And from the Great White North, here is your special guest referee, Ryan, the Uneven Flow. Are listening to Mayhem Mike's. And now, let's get ready to podcast!
All right, here we go. Crap, hang on. Water, wow. Fuck.
Does he have a death wish or something?
Thank you, as always, our ring announcer, podcast announcer, TV's Mr. Neil. Of course, I am TFG and Mike. And this is Mayhem Mike's episode 14. This is a super-sized episode, yet we are missing one of the tag team here. Mike the Birdman Dodd, his voice was stolen by Lana or what's one of the other ones? Lana or Alicia Fox or somebody stole his voice, and he can barely talk at this point. So I've got myself and, of course, Ryan the Uneven Flow Markley. Hello, sir.
Hello.
So... this has been building and building and building. We've had to reschedule, everything else. Mayhem Mike's, we are going to do... the lightning round has returned! Yay! We are going to go through all four of the last, briefly, each of the last pay-per-views since the brand split, when they split the pay-per-views. So the Raw pay-per-views and the SmackDown pay-per-views, we're going to do one each. So we got... first up, we'll have Backlash and Clash of Champions, and then after that, we will have No Mercy, that is Hell in a Cell. But first off, I want to highlight something that I found this week, and I think they're coming to. They're going to be a Walmart exclusive action figure toy that is WWE related, and they're not out yet as of this recording. This is November 18th, 2016. But they're coming soon. I'm sure they'll be around for the holidays and that kind of stuff. But my buddy Pixel Dan, you can go check out his channel on YouTube. I think it's youtube.com/Mandalorian30. But if you just search Pixel Dan on YouTube, I'm sure one of his videos will find it'll pop up and you can find his channel. He did a spotlight on the TMNT WWE Ninja Superstars. So you got the four turtles: Donnie, Leo, Raph, and Mikey. Donnie as The Undertaker. Leo as John Cena. Raph as Sting. And then Mikey is the Macho Man. Oh my god. And I watched these and I'm like, this is so fun. And these are slightly... They're about... You know, in Dan's videos, he measures them, and they're right around the 5.5-6-inch scale. But they're slightly bigger figures than what Nickelodeon normally puts out and what Playmates normally puts out for the traditional standard turtle figures, because they're WWE. They have to incorporate... And the way they've done this is they've incorporated the wrestling persona into the turtle persona. And each of these, I think, is personal. I just personally think these are amazing. I just love watching those videos. It's so awesome. So, The Undertaker... Donnie is The Undertaker. What did you think of Donnie as The Undertaker?
I like the matchups of the characters for the most part. I mean, you know, Donatello's probably the toughest one to do overall, but I'm... think you need to do an Undertaker, so it works.
Yeah,
I like how much stuff is not now. You can correct me on this because I might be wrong, but I thought the old turtle crossovers, for the most part, it was just like a paint job over the figures versus actually molding some of the clothes and stuff onto them versus. These, they seem to have molded all the clothes, which is really nice. And then they've got some that are attachable, like the two, although you can't take them off. But anyway, they've got like a hat for Cena, and then they've got the two trench coats.
Yeah, all of the figures, all four Turtles figures, everything is molded on to these figures so they can basically fill the persona of the WWE superstar they're trying to dress up as. So there's nothing that's removable. They all come with accessories. The only one I remember is Undercover Don. That's the only one I remember from the old days that, you know, that I really, really remember. And it looks like, just looking at an image of him, it looks like the trench coat and the hat are molded onto that original figure.
Okay.
I'm not sure. It's been years since I've looked at some of the old turtle figures, but these new ones, these WWE TMNT ones, I actually want to find them. Like, ladies and gentlemen, if anyone has listened to ToyCast, which was the toy podcast we did here on Geekcast Radio Network, I used to collect toys all the time. You know, back in 2008 when I had a job that paid me exuberant amount of money for doing next to nothing. You know, I would buy toys all the time. I had a huge toy collection. And by about 2010, 2011, I just completely lost interest and sold it all. I just lost interest in the art of collecting. And while that normally is enjoyable, I don't know, I just, something in me changed. But these, I actually want to get these and put them on my shelf. These are awesome. Nothing that any of the toy companies that has put out since 2011 has made me like, ooh, I really want that. These, I really want. Because these are just awesome. And I love all the little details. And in Dan's review, in two of his reviews, I remember him saying about the accessories, Raph, as Sting, comes with the trash can lid. And in the video, he's like, I'm not sure why he only comes with the trash can lid. Next video is Macho Man Mikey. Oh, here we go. Macho Man Mikey has the trash can that goes with the lid that went. He kind of laughed it off as like a Build-A-Figure kind of thing. And I'm like, yeah, that is probably because they couldn't fit the whole trash can in one package. I don't know. But absolutely love those videos, folks. I will link each of the videos in the post for Mayhem Mike's episode 14 here. But we're going to get right to it right after this announcement. So we'll be back with Backlash and Classic. I can't talk tonight.
If it makes you feel any better, the announcers messed up Clash of Champions over and over again in the lead up too.
Which one did it? Cole?
I think Cole was pretty bad for it. Oh, Mick Foley.
Yeah.
He would call it Clash of the Champions sometimes, and then other times not. Anyway.
Yeah, anyway.
It's time for Mayhem Mike's Lightning Round 1. Can the hosts talk in 5 words or less about each match on this pay-per-view? Let's get ready to podcast and find out.
Every action has an equal reaction.
The new commissioner, SmackDown Live, Shane McMahon.
Every cause has a direct effect.
The SmackDown Live General Manager, Daniel Bryan.
So here we are. One focus, one vision, one mantra.
We're going to own the business.
Tonight, you will look into our eyes. With every new opportunity,
the first ever SmackDown Women's Champion.
New champions will emerge.
Inaugural SmackDown Live Tag Team Champion.
Stared every fear dead in its face.
You are just a man, Randy. A man who hurts, who suffers. I am not just a man. I am a god.
I'm not afraid of a man who calls himself a god.
And at Backlash, Bray Wyatt won't know what hit him.
Every preconception shattered.
You sit there and call me a coward? This is my show. I am your Intercontinental Champion. I do it all, day in and day out. You
and me.
Fight me, and you prove to yourself that you're not a coward.
And in the end, only one leader will rise.
At the face that wants this place!
Listen up. SmackDown Live belongs to the WWE World Champion.
The new World Champion!
Dean Ambrose is here to stay. It's about building my legacy.
Tonight, SmackDown takes the new era to a whole new level. It all begins with our
Backlash.
And now, KFC presents WWE Backlash.
All right, folks, it is time to talk about WWE Backlash. And as I said at the end of the Mike Quackenbush interview, when I was asking you guys for a theme song and everything else, the Backlash pay-per-view, which was the first SmackDown live pay-per-view, right? Yeah. This had the featured song of Through Fires, Stronger. And that's going to be the close. I've got about somewhere around 25, 30 seconds of that song. That's going to be the closing of the show every time now for the podcast. So to kick off Backlash 2016, we have Baron Corbin defeating Apollo Crews.
Oh, sorry.
No, okay.
No. Quick note on Crews, because he'll be in another one of these. I like Crews, but he has no personality, and they haven't bothered giving him any personality or time. Like, he's just sort of the smiley guy who's there.
You know, I could be wrong about this, and maybe it's because I've watched that Donald Trump Vince McMahon video way too much since we now have President-elect Donald Trump here in the United States. But Apollo Crews, when I first saw him, I'm like, hey, is that Bobby Lashley's son?
Mercifully, no.
But yeah, I know, but I'm saying, like, I drew an allusion to Bobby Lashley once I first saw Crews when he first debuted on whatever show he debuted on. Yeah, Baron Corbin, I don't get his gimmick. And like you said, Crews, he just hasn't had any... They haven't given him a full push yet.
Corbin's a great heel. He's got a great, like, look for it and everything else. The problem's been same sort of issue with some of the other guys we'll talk about. Isn't that a lot of time to kind of settle on that? Like, he's talked a little bit. I mean, more than Crews overall, or at least he's had more to say, I should say, than Crews overall. But he still, yeah, he just... There's two guys that were kind of underdeveloped. They just decided, hey, let's put him in a match, and Corbin wins.
Absolutely. We had the SmackDown Women's Championship six-pack challenge. It was Becky Lynch versus Nikki Bella, Carmella, Naomi, Natalya, and Alexa Bliss. And, of course, Becky Lynch wins this. The women's division on SmackDown, to me, I enjoy that more than the
Raw. It's deeper.
Well,
which
yeah.
Which is surprising, because when... It first started, it seemed like you looked at the SmackDown division and thought, what the, you know, there's not much possibility here. But surprisingly, Alexa Bliss came out of basically nowhere. She was okay in NXT,
yeah,
but there was no sign of her being a star. Yeah. And then Carmella has done a really, like, surprisingly good job. Same sort of story that...
I haven't seen anybody go up against Nikki that well in a long time.
Yeah, and again, like, it just kind of came out of nowhere. So, I mean, props to all of them. I mean, we knew Naomi can wrestle, at least.
No, yes.
Great talker. Natalia's solid. And we knew that Becky Lynch was going to be really good. But, yeah, I'm amazed at how... should be noted, like, back when the split happened, we looked at the rosters and are like, man, how's SmackDown going to compete?
Yeah.
Well, turns out SmackDown's had way better writing.
Oh, absolutely.
That's been the big difference. Part of that is they brought up one of the NXT writers at the same time, and he's done a really good job with a roster that overall is probably less talented. But anyway, yeah, Becky Lynch wins the title. That wasn't surprising.
Yeah.
It was solid. I mean, when you have that many people, it's hard to have a really good match.
Yeah. The one thing when it comes to Becky Lynch and Alexa Bliss, every time I see promo images of them having their matches at pay-per-views and things, like, you know, Alexa wants the title and, you know, Becky's going to defend it, I always think, hey, look, it's Poison Ivy versus Harley Quinn.
Yeah, basically. The Harley thing's intentional, obviously. Lynch, it's just been, man, she went from, like, a borderline offensive Irish gimmick. You should look that up on, like, YouTube or wherever sometime. But anyway, she used to come out and do, like, the Irish jigs and everything. It was pretty bad.
And then she turned into Becky Balboa.
Well, now she's sort of, like, got the steampunk thing going on, which seems to work
right,
for her.
But, like, I remember when she first won the championship and a few times that she defended it, she started calling herself Becky Balboa and just kind of pulling the whole Rocky thing for a while.
That's still better than suffering succotash. Oh, Roman.
Hey, yeah, he hasn't said... We'll talk about Roman later, but he hasn't said that in a while, as far as I can tell. I don't remember the last time he said it, but I haven't heard it from him in a while.
Well, he only said it to the one episode, but man...
Okay.
Yeah, hard one to live down. Anyway...
So, next up, we have the second chance challenge to advance to the tag team tournament finale. It's the Usos versus the Hype Bros. The Usos win. What do we think of the Usos turn, essentially? They basically turn face. Or no, they turn heel.
They turn heel, yeah.
They turn heel. I'm sorry.
They're way more interesting now than they've been in a while. Surprisingly,
yep.
It's worked. If you had told me they were going to do that and they were going to be interesting again, I would have said you were nuts months ago. But no, it's worked out well.
Mm-hmm.
Impressed with them. They're a lot more fun and interesting to watch now. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. Like, go ahead. They're hurt a bit by the fact the SmackDown tag division is not very. They've done a bad job building some of the teams up, and then there's not a whole lot of depth there. But they've done well with what they've got.
Absolutely. Up next for Backlash, we had The Miz doing the Ziggler for the Intercontinental Championship. And, of course, The Miz wins. I like these. I've always liked Miz, but I have said this before on this podcast in the last year or so when Mike and I first started it. I always knew him as the guy who was on the Real World, Back to New York, or whatever it was, or wherever they were, because I remember, I think it was like the 10th season of the Real World back when MTV still cared about, like, developing their reality television. But, like, I remember in that show, he basically had one of the replica WWE belts, and he said in the show, one of these days, I'm going to be a WWE champion. And he's like, what, five or six time champion now of various titles. He's held various titles in his WWE career.
He held the world title, and he won at a WrestleMania.
Yep.
Not a whole lot of people can say that.
Yeah.
The other thing Miz has done really, really well, aside from he's probably the best pure heel on SmackDown. AJ is a fantastic heel as well, but he's funny, so people cheer him on occasion. Mm-hmm. Miz seems to be like one of the only guys who just absolutely loves it when people despise him. But anyway,
AJ.
The other thing.
What about AJ?
Oh, sorry, I meant
Dolph. You mean Dolph?
No, I meant AJ. AJ's too funny to be a pure heel, whereas like Miz seems to get off on being despised. The other thing Miz did though was resurrect Ziggler's career, because it seemed like he was floundering, especially after those matches with Ambrose.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
But like, man, he just seemed so motivated in these matches. And the only sort of downside, I guess, if you can call it that, is the Intercontinental titles flip-flopped a few times. So I mean, Miz wins here. Mm-hmm. And holds the title, but you know they flip flop and as we go through later. But still, like I'm surprisingly enjoyed seeing the two of them together again. It seems to have rejuvenated both of them.
It really, really has, and it was, and we'll talk about it later about one specific moment that I was just like, oh my god, you just don't do that. But we'll get to that later. All right, so then we had the No Holds Barred match, where it was supposed to be Bray Wyatt versus Randy Orton, but Bray Wyatt beat him because he forfeited, because he attacked him or whatever else. And then it
was backstage earlier on.
So then they substituted Kane for Randy, so it was Kane defeating Bray Wyatt.
What the hell is the point of that?
I've said this before on recent episodes of this show. I love Kane. I respect Kane. I think he's done a hell of a lot in his career. But unless, and I know this will never happen, unless you put him with his brother, The Undertaker, and make them the ultimate monster tag team, he just feels like he needs to retire. Unless they're going to go gimmick with him, but that would take away his monster abilities.
I mean, they could have him put over a younger talent, which is what should have happened here. I mean, why do you have Kane beat at this point? At this point in the program between Wyatt and Orton, Wyatt had won nothing, and he loses again here. Like, it just. The idea of Wyatt as even remotely credible or interesting, I feel like, pretty much died that day, which sucks because I've defended the guy and I think he has talent, but they give him these long, meandering promos and then he goes out and loses every single week. It's pretty hard to take him seriously. I know I've made the Raven and the Flock comparison, but man, Raven won.
Yeah,
like it's hard to see Wyatt as a cult leader or anything, whatever you want to call him, when he can't win a single match against anybody. And I mean, he has Kane like just comes out and beats him this week. or that pay-per-view.
Yeah,
like,
in this pay-per-view, yeah.
I don't know. It sucks because I like Wyatt. I like Kane, too, to be fair, but I agree. Like, unless he's there to help somebody out or, you know, elevate their status or whatever, I just don't see it.
Yeah. I think my favorite gimmick in the last few years that I did with him was back when he was corporate Kane, and when he got fired, that same episode he came back as concessions Kane and he was running one of the food things in the back. I was like, that's hilarious. I love that.
Yeah, they can use him for comedy or they can use him for backstage stuff. I mean,
yeah.
I wasn't a huge fan of a lot of the corporate Kane stuff they did with him, but
it was all right. It was a little strange because we know his history. And it, again, as I said, it feels like some of the gimmicky stuff that they tried to do with him takes away from his destructor that we know that is Kane. So, all right. SmackDown Tag Team Championship finale here. We had Heath and Rhino versus the Usos. And, of course, Heath and Rhino go over and defeat them. Are the Usos ever going to win again? Like, don't get me wrong. I like Heath and Rhino together. I can't stand Heath on his own. His character just pisses me off. But Heath and Rhino together work. But seriously, are the Usos ever going to get a win? I mean, I know wins and losses at this point in WWE don't count for shit anymore, but
I expect they will. They'll win the title before too long, and then American Alpha will probably take it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's my guess. But, I mean, I think the Heath Slater Rhino thing has nearly run its course, so.
Yep. And then we had to close out the night, we had the WWE World Championship match, AJ Styles versus Dean Ambrose. And, of course, they had AJ win. I like seeing these two guys work because, as you said earlier, AJ, he's not a full heel. But neither is Dean. They're kind of like straddling the fence of face and heel. Dean has that kind of hard edge. And AJ basically just wants to steal everybody's catchphrases, which is fine. That's his gimmick. That's fine. I don't care. And let's face it, John wasn't even at this paper. That's what I want to see. I want to see John and AJ again, but I want to see John come down and say, "Give me back my catchphrase." what did you think of AJ versus Dean here?
It was solid. I think this is like some of the best work Ambrose had done in a while. Mm-hmm. And then his promo stuff around this time when they had him also kind of making fun of Cena as well and the two of them going at it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That was some of the best stuff from both of them. And it was really entertaining. It's unfortunate that, like, Cena, for a variety of reasons, has had to go away for a bit.
Yeah.
But, I mean, opposite side of all that, Styles has got to be, like, the MVP so far this year for WWE. He kind of... People knew how talented he was, I think, but, like, he debuted at Rumble, and I don't know if there was an inkling that he would be this good for them.
I think, for me, where... Outside of his athletic ability and his ring ability and his actual wrestling ability, what really sold me on Styles, I don't dislike him, but I don't necessarily root for him, especially when he's going against Dean, because I just like Dean more. But I love the two of them when they do the gimmick skits and things, like the one where Dean had him on the ropes and basically kicked him on the ropes and, you know, the crotch rope shot and... You know, Dean goes up and pats him on the back and just starts shaking his... I just laughed so hard at that. I thought that was hilarious. What would you give overall 0-5 rating for Backlash as an overall pay-per-view?
It was a surprisingly solid one. So, I mean, I figured that the SmackDown split would result in some pretty crap pay-per-views from them.
Mm.
And this was better than the next one we'll get to. So, I mean, this for me was probably like 7.5, 8 range. It was surprisingly entertaining. I wasn't expecting a lot. There were a couple clunkers. The whole Wyatt stuff was a clunker.
Yeah.
But, I mean, overall, it was fun, surprisingly.
Yeah, I'm about the same place as you are.
What does it take? to get here. When others paused to rest, you charged. When others slept, you trained. When life beat you up, you beat it right back. When you have every reason to quit, when others stay down, when it gets too hard, don't stop. Don't wait. Tonight.
I've known I deserve this since the moment I stepped foot in this ring. The Kevin Owens Show.
You can't defy the odds if you stop.
If you want to make him the face of the new era, I will be the one to burn it to the ground.
You won't crush your opponent if you wait.
Roman has done nothing to deserve my title.
You can't turn haters into believers unless you keep going.
I'm taking what's mine.
But tonight, you can be a champion.
The queen has reclaimed her throne. That title is coming back to me. I've been waiting for this my entire life.
Tonight, it's every champion and every championship. This is a clash. Of champions.
And now, KFC presents WWE Clash of Champions.
All right, folks, up next is the first Raw brand pay-per-view of the brand split. We have the Clash of Champions. And this one started out with the kickoff match of Nia Jax versus Alicia Fox. Again, I'll say this again. Some of these WWE divas or women wrestlers that have been around since the Divas Division thing, like Alicia Fox, like what the hell has she done in the, like, was this one of those matches where, you know, just to put Nia over?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, figures.
I mean, it gives her a win over somebody people know. And now it looks like, well, I mean, before the current sort of Survivor Series where everyone's getting along, it looked like they were going to have her against Bayley long term. I mean, yeah, the match is fine. I've liked what they've done with Nia. They've kind of kept her away a bit, and she, you know, comes out and just annihilates people.
Yeah.
I like her look. I like her. She was quite good in NXT. She hasn't been around very long, so it also kind of protects her to give her these short matches, and she can slowly continue to get better, so...
Yeah, because I mean, with the Queen and with Sasha and with Bayley, you've got a whole, like, those three are just taking up the spotlight right now.
So, well, I swear the Sasha Charlotte thing, I mean, we'll get to that a little later, especially for Hell in a Cell. But like, it seems like they could keep that going forever because the two of them have done a surprisingly outstanding job of keeping it consistently fresh.
Absolutely. Then we had the Raw Tag Team Championship match, The New Day versus Gallows and Anderson. I fully expect once they hit that mark of, what is it, 450 or 470?
To beat Demolition.
Yeah, whatever the day mark is for The New Day, I fully expect after like that 471st day or 451st day or whatever it is, Gallows and Anderson are going to come in, they're going to rip the shreds out of The New Day. And now this is just based on this pay-per-view. I'm sure it's going to change once we get to the other two, to the other one for Raw. But like, I fully expect Gallows and Anderson to hold the belts at some point, you know, going into 2017.
They needed to win it here. Like, that was one of the problems, though, because I don't.
Yeah.
The you know, Raw, I mentioned, probably has a deeper tag division. The problem is some of those teams have just been wasted. I mean, without the ability to win the title. Or win any big matches, Gallows and Anderson and Enzo and Cass have really suffered.
Yeah.
I just don't know if you see them as super, you know, credible threats or anything anymore. They'll probably have the New Day implode, or at least I assume so. But having said that, man, they move so much merchandise. I don't know. And I hate to say it, but, like, they're really pushing it at this point in terms of, like, overstaying their welcome.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the New Day. I know you didn't like them, well, but, like,
It's mainly, and it's not, again, for me, it has nothing. I know everyone says Xavier is a great guy. For me, it's all about what I see on the screen and the characters that I see that they are portraying, that they have written for these people. I like Big E and Kofi individually when they were singles matchers. I loved them both. Absolutely. Just Xavier and that damn trumpet or the tuba or
trombone,
whatever the hell, you know, just, then we, this is where you're going to have to kind of pick this up because I don't actually watch any of the NXT stuff. I know I should, but I have so much other things to do. Raw has the WWE Cruiserweight Championship. Thank you. TJ Perkins versus Brian Kendrick. Now, is this the same Brian Kendrick that was the of the... Okay, then.
So no, it's him. It's, right. Yeah, much older and much more cleaner, we'll say.
Well, I don't know about cleaner. He's got that large beard on him now. Last time I saw him, he was shaving.
That's not the type of cleanliness I was referring to.
Yeah.
good for him. I'm really happy to see him back. WWE completely mishandled the Cruiserweight division. I expect that Kalisto is going to win or something's going to happen and it's going to get moved to SmackDown because they're now creating their own show for the Cruiserweights. But they did a bad job with them on Raw. They just never gave them the chance or at all to establish any characters or let the audience get to know them.
Yep.
So the audience was kind of dead for most of these matches, which sucks because some of them were quite good. And a lot of these Cruiserweights guys are phenomenally, are just really talented wrestlers, and quite a few of them as well have really good characters if they'd, you know, be actually given any time to talk and establish them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So yeah, I mean, Kendrick lost this one. TJ Perkins, you know, they played up the storyline a little bit that Perkins trained with Kendrick, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah. I feel, again, like I feel bad because, I mean, the crowd was dead for a lot of these matches, and we'll mention it again in the next Raw pay-per-view that they were dead for that, but yeah, it's unfortunate because they put on a good show.
Yep. And then we had the Best of Seven series finale with Cesaro versus Sheamus, which ended in a no contest, which then forced General Manager Mick Foley to make them a tag team
because they hate each other so much. Yeah, they just here it ends in a contest. This was a pretty cruddy match because Cesaro lands pretty much on his skull on a dive to the outside, which was terrible and scary. And then the ref, like, when he just kind of rolls, decides to end the match.
Yep.
Man, they should have ended the match legit whenever
they should.
Whenever Cesaro ends up on his skull. So, I mean, don't. People, like WWE wrestlers, stop landing on your head or neck.
Yeah. Absolutely. And then we had Jericho versus Sami Zayn. I liked this match. It's been a while since I've really enjoyed Jericho. I mean, I enjoy Chris Jericho. I think he's a great obviously he's a great wrestler and everything else, but it's been a while since I've enjoyed his in-ring prowess, and seeing his style versus Sami is just amazing to me.
He's been rejuvenated in this entire run, be it his character or his like in-ring wrestling, like everything. I've been really impressed with him, and yeah, solid match. It sucks that they've never, until now, they haven't seemed to figure out what to do with Sami Zayn since the win over Owens. Yeah. They completely lost all the momentum he had then, because he was getting cheered like one of the top guys. Yeah. And then, yeah, they took him off TV and just didn't have anything for him. Hopefully he gets that back. I mean, it's weird because I'm torn because I love the Miz's work. So I love the Miz-Ziggler program. So having Zayn win at the Intercontinental belt at Survivor Series would hurt that. So I'm torn by it. But anyway, yeah, this was a good match. These two guys are fun.
Then we had the Raw Women's Championship triple threat match, Charlotte versus Sasha and Bayley. This, I'm not that big of a fan of Charlotte. I mean, I get it. She's a great wrestler and all that, but I prefer Sasha and Bayley over her. But the three of them in this match, all three women, kicked ass because they all have so very different styles between the three of them. And this is probably my favorite match of the night.
Charlotte's been doing really good work, and she actually seems to get better as time goes on. Wasn't sold on her at the start, but I definitely am now. She's done fantastic work. Her and Sasha, it seems like, could feud almost forever.
They could. And then we had the United States Championship match with Roman Reigns defeating Rusev. Is Rusev, is he really going to stick around that much longer? Because it just seems like...
They never seem to know what to do with the guy, and now...
Yeah, he can't... Well, and we've talked about this in the last...
Well, he loses... He has big feuds, and then they have him lose every match, which... Ugh.
Well... We talked about this. He came in when he debuted. He was, this giant Russian guy who was going to come after John Cena and the U.S. Championship and hail Russia and to hell with the U.S. and everything else. And came in with Lana and was just this giant force. And he defeated everybody. And they then have John win against him. And then
they had the Cena burial.
Man, I know. Still, I still don't, Cena's not burying much these days. What is he up with, a neck injury now?
I think he's just getting more time off. I mean, I think he's basically just kind of a part-timer now, which is fine. I mean, he's been around for a while. And
12 years or so, yeah.
Yeah, and he's got a style that's pretty high impact. But anyway,
With Roman versus Rusev, again, it's two very different styles because they're two very differently built men. And say what you want about Roman's in-ring mic work and all that stuff and suffering succotash and whatever else, but I still love his style.
He's gotten way better. His mic work, too, has gotten way better. And it's weird because the Rusev stuff, I think, really helped him. The problem I have with it is it didn't really help Rusev.
No.
So you had one guy, I think, was in the right spot. The other guy, I mean, Rusev was in the right spot. It's just I wish they had done a little more to make him continue to be believable. Now we'll see what happens going forward. They didn't bury him as bad as the repeated losses to Cena buried him, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's not a knock on Cena, it's just the way it was booked. I think it was poor. They had him come in as the monster, and then he just wasn't... He won the first match, and then that was it. And he didn't even look great in the other ones. But yeah, Rusev was solid here. Reigns was solid here. I thought their next match was a little... it was a little better. They had some awkward moments, but anyway... This one was still all right, though.
Yeah, what I love about Roman versus Rusev, besides the in-ring stuff, the actual physical wrestling part of the entertainment, is all the skits with the wedding and the thing and the, oh my god, the cake in Lana's face. Oh god, it's just so hilarious. Poor Rusev.
My favorite was when he tried to torture the crowd by making them watch his slides.
Oh, I know. That's so hilarious. Closing out Clash of Champions, we had the WWE Universal Championship match. Kevin Owens, the Kevin Owens Show versus the Seth freaking Rollins Show.
Hmm. This match was okay. There, the Hell in a Cell was way better.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Yeah.
And the way they had Jericho interfere in that was a lot more organic / amusing. This time he just kind of came out and helped Owens. I mean, I wasn't a huge fan of Owens kind of being the cowardly heel and winning this way. I liked it how they did it. Or I liked how they did Hell in a Cell way more. So
yeah. And I'm starting to come around to Seth a little bit. Like, one of the reasons why I never really liked Seth Rollins in the first place was because it was a different time in WWE a few years ago when it was all the authority, and every promo or every backstage skit I ever saw Seth do, he was the whiny little baby to me. Like,
that's the thing. They overexposed him too.
Yeah, and I get it. That was his character. But when I first saw Seth, Roman, and Dean as the Shield, I loved that unit as a team. And back then I didn't like Dean because Dean was just really, really wacky and almost really raw. Like he was too green at the time. And now obviously he's gotten better, but seeing the three of them go off and do their own thing and get to the point where they all are now, I think that's really, really great. This match, I enjoyed. I like seeing Owens win, not necessarily against Rollins, but just I like seeing Owens win in general. My wonderment at this point of Clash of Champions is, who are they eventually going to put the Universal Belt on Seth? Or is somebody else going to come out of it? Like, is John going to... Well, John Wooden, he's on SmackDown. Is somebody going to come out of the woodwork? What's going to happen with this? Because are they setting Owens up to have the ultimate, first, ever Universal Championship reign of 400 days, 500 days, whatever it is?
It looks like he's going to hold it for a while. Because, I mean, his next program's against Reigns. I can't see them sort of switching belts or whatever. So... They're pretty clearly setting up Rollins Hunter WrestleMania,
yeah.
And I can't see that being for the belt. So expect Owens going to keep going. I expect it'll be Owens Jericho at WrestleMania, which I think by then is going to be ridiculously hyped because Jericho's been killing it.
Well, yeah. Okay, so talk about Kevin Owens. Okay, he came into WWE. Jericho came in, AJ had his debut. The three of those guys, okay? The center point of that trio is Jericho because he's had team-ups with both of them.
Yep.
I was on AJ when he first came in. I liked him, but because he was going up against John, and I have just always liked John, I was just... He's a good wrestler. He's a great person. I'm loving seeing him. I'm loving seeing his style, but no pun intended. But it's just one of those things where I wanted to see when they did the Y2AJ, I wanted to see that last just a little bit longer, because I really loved Chris and AJ together. But now that we have the Chris and Kevin show or the Kevin and Chris show or whatever the hell you want to call it, I really dig the two of them as, the best friend team up kind of thing. And I think, as you said, where it's kind of going is they're putting a wedge between them and they're doing it. The writing for it is very organic. It's taken so much time, but it doesn't feel like it's being drawn out to the point of, oh my God, will this end already?
I think a lot of that's because Jericho kind of has control of his own stuff, right? So, I mean, at this point they let him do what he wants. So because of that, both guys they're probably just give him a mic and let him go. And Owens can do that really well too. So it works. And then it helps that anytime they've gone up against somebody, whoever it is they're going up against seems to be able to talk really well as well.
Mm, absolutely.
So they've done a good job with all of them. I like what they've done with Rollins overall. The only thing that kind of stinks is Hunter's still like kind of looming over the whole thing. They haven't let him talk or anything since putting the belt on Owens.
Yeah.
So.
You know what the crazy thing is? And I know I'm going to get really a lot of flack for this, both from you, from Dodd, and from everybody listening to this podcast, but I'm just going to sit here and say it now. At this point, Kevin Owens feels like one of Shinnok's underlings from Mortal Kombat Annihilation, and Triple H feels like Shinnok to me, where half the first half of the movie he doesn't say a damn thing to anybody else other than his own people.
Man, could you have picked a worse movie to...
I know.
Man, thing's abysmal. Next.
I know. All right, Clash of Champions, 0 to 5 rating, what do you give it?
Oof. Oh, man, I feel bad, but I mean, they're just... too many kind of clunkers, and the highs weren't that high for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
So, probably a 5.5 or a 6.
Mm. All right. And up next, folks, is No Mercy. We'll be back after this.
It's time for Mayhem Mike's Lightning Round 2. Can the hosts talk in 5 words or less about each match on this pay-per-view? Let's get ready to podcast and find out.
A long road, because you chase history. I make history.
And now, WWE 2K17, the video game, and Mattel's Hall of Fame Elite Series present WWE No Mercy.
All right, folks, the second SmackDown pay-per-view we're going to be talking about is No Mercy. The kickoff match was the Hype Bros and American Alpha defeating the Ascension and the Vaudevillains. Once again, while the SmackDown Tag Team Division seems to be fairly done well right now, what the hell are the Ascension and the Vaudevillains still doing there?
Which sucks, because I kind of like the Vaudevillains. They actually have they have talent, but they've been buried. And yeah, American Alpha is like the only team that they've really built at all.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Then we had Baron Corbin versus Jack Swagger. Baron Corbin obviously wins here. I miss Jack when he had a mouthpiece. I mean, Jack is all right on the mic, but I really liked the few mouthpieces he's had over the years that I've seen him in WWE.
As depressing as it is, that was not the order of the match.
What?
Remember, we opened with the triple threat for the title.
Oh.
Cena, Ambrose, AJ was first.
Oh, yeah, right. Whoops.
Yeah, the Corbin, boring Corbin, and Jack Swagger beatdown was in the middle of the pay-per-view.
Wow, then WWE.com, you need to fix your shit.
To be fair, we already spent more time than is needed on that match. By the way, this was a good pay-per-view. I know I'm whining about a couple of duds, especially that one, but like, and no, this was really good. Anyway, so yeah, they actually opened with the title match for whatever reason, and yeah, I mean, AJ would win again, and we kind of have, well, I mean, AJ covered, beat Cena, which is...
Wasn't this the double cover? Or was that this Raw? Was it a SmackDown,
but in this one... We had a couple, like, almost finishes and stuff. This was the one AJ was trying to tap out while he was in Cena's
staff. Oh, right.
And Ambrose grabs his hand.
Right.
Yeah. There was a couple, like, really fun, like, almost falls in this. Really good job by everybody.
Yeah. See, here's the thing, okay? We could take... And they didn't... Oh, that's right. This pay-per-view...
That's the one where AJ tapped out as well.
Yeah. Well, this... No Mercy, we were supposed to have Becky versus Alexa, but one of them got injured or something.
Becky had to have a surgery, yeah.
Okay, yeah. See, that's the thing. Like, see, if you're going to start a pay-per-view with the WWE World Championship Triple Threat, that's great. I love starting that way. I think that's awesome. And then have that main event, which will happen later, you know, as we go down these things, you know, when we talk about Hell in a Cell. But have that main event be the women's, or start with the women's championship thing, even though there wasn't a women's championship match here because Becky had to have surgery. But yeah, I like starting with the, cause it's, you know, it's basically bringing you in, and then, you know, you can go to sleep for Baron and whoever else later.
I think the main reason was, it went up against one of the debates.
Oh yeah, that's true.
So they wanted to try to prevent like people from tuning them out early, and so yeah, they had the triple threat go on first.
So Nikki versus Carmella again. I love seeing these two just act everything out when it comes to the skits and stuff, because it's just so funny.
Yeah, and I'm really impressed with Carmella's progression.
Yeah.
It's weird because neither of them are super good at being good or bad. Like, Nikki Bella kind of stinks at being good. And Carmella's not great at being the bad guy. Mm-hmm. So because of that, I mean, Carmella's started to get cheered more as we've gone on with this feud. But still, it's working for whatever reason, and it's worked for both of them. Part of that's because Carmella's been way better than I had anticipated.
Yep. And then we had the SmackDown Tag Team Championship match with Slater and Rhino versus the Usos, and the Usos lose again. Don't get me wrong, I get it. They're at least trying to keep Heath around so he can say he has a damn job, because he has to feed like 17 million kids that he's, you know, had with his wife or whatever. But, and I'm sorry, I hate that gimmick.
Heath and Rhino work together, at least for now, or at least at that point. But yeah, it's one of those that it's got an expiration date.
Yeah. Naomi defeating Alexa. I love Alexa. I think she's awesome. I can't wait to see if she ever gets a championship shot. Like, actually, to be able to win the championship.
So we have more shenanigans, I guess, on the on the site. Because, yeah, the next match was the Baron Corbin Swagger. We already talked about that. But after that was the career versus title match, Dolph versus The Miz.
Okay, so I have to talk about this for SmackDown because...
By the way, this should have been the main event that night.
It really should have, yes. I absolutely agree. The career versus title match. Okay, so the SmackDown... I've been watching a lot of Steven Larson from Machinima and Going in Raw and all that, because I essentially just watch their recaps after every Raw and SmackDown now. They call the, and I'm sure everybody else calls it this, I've never heard of this until I saw them, but any show, whether it's Raw or SmackDown before a pay-per-view, is a go-home show, is the way they term it. On the go-home show for SmackDown, for this match, leading into this match, Ziggler is asking The Miz for one more, and he puts up his career. But before he says that, you know, The Miz is walking away. He's like, no, I don't want anything else to do. You know, you're done, whatever. And Dolph says, come on, Mike. He basically, because it's been years since I've ever heard anyone call The Miz outside his real name in a ring. I just absolutely love that. And the whole career versus title, I just love this. I love watching these two.
It was really good. And, I mean, they're both really good talents, and they seem to have brought the best out in each other.
Yeah. And the one thing that we haven't really talked about with these matches between the two of them is the constant cheating on The Miz and Maryse's part.
Maryse, and don't forget the Spirit Squad.
Oh, God.
Anyway, but regardless, they're there, and it works. Like, it's worked for both of them. Like I said before, I'm almost sorry to, I don't want to see Zayn lose, but I don't want to see the end of Ziggler Miz right now, because for whatever reason, again, they've managed to keep it really, really fresh.
Absolutely, they have. And closing out the night, we have...
Yeah, because then was Alexa Bliss Naomi, which,
by
the way, what the hell was the point of having Naomi win when Bliss was supposed to challenge for the title?
I know!
That was a baffling...
And honestly, and because Dodd isn't here, I'm going to speak up about this. And I know he watches it. I know most people don't. I haven't watched it in a long time, but I know Dodd watches Total Divas the time. Oh, no, I know, but here's the thing. Originally, and I've said this before on the show, originally I watched it not for the reality TV show aspect of it. I watched it to see who's talking to Mark Carano. Who's, what storyline preview are we going to get? That's what I watched Total Divas for. And I remember all those, you know, the last two, three years, Naomi has been bucking and bucking and bucking for a championship, for something to do, you know. And, you know, she had the whole thing with the Usos for a while, and then she had whatever else, and now she's, you know. So, again, she seems to be one of those ones that they, utility infielder is the best term I can really.
Yeah, and she's really talented. She's got, she's very good wrestler. But
absolutely, yeah. So, as I said, we close out the night with Bray versus Randy, and this essentially sets up Randy joining the Wyatt family. And having a new Wyatt family.
I just don't think it's going to be long term, though, A. And then B, I mean, Bray lost so many friggin' matches and everything. I still didn't care, and I feel really bad because I, you know, I like Bray Wyatt quite a bit. But, yeah, I mean, this was not a. This shouldn't have been the close either. The match was slow, I didn't find it was all that good. And just, it felt like a downer to end on, even though the right guy finally won, if that makes enough sense. Like, I hate criticizing it, but...
Well, again, as I said, I think Bray won, outside of his actual talent. I think the reason why the storyline had him win was bringing Randy, basically turning Randy into a Wyatt family member. And really, what has Randy been doing lately? I mean, he's got his whole Viper, he had the Viperville thing for a while. He's got his whole, you know, I am the Viper, I hear voices thing. And I like Randy. He's a great wrestler. You know, what I'm going to be interested to see is, and this will come up when we talk in the closing about how Raw and SmackDown have been for us since the brand split, you know, but the Team Raw versus Team SmackDown leading up to Survivor Series, that meetup on Raw, and seeing, you know, the Jericho and whatever else, and seeing Jericho and Randy back, like, I was half hoping, I know this isn't going to happen for a while, I was half hoping Chris would just smack the living crap out of Randy and just smack some sense into him. But I understand why they're doing the Randy Wyatt. Wow, the Randy Wyatt. The Randy Orton Wyatt family thing. It's,
I want to see them. I want to see them do Orton AJ. I think that would bring out. I think it would bring out the best in Orton again for the first time in a while.
Yeah.
Because he would have to be better. And AJ seems to just make the people around him better on the mic and in ring. So, I kind of like that.
What would you give 0 to 5 rating for No Mercy?
Wait, we're going 0 to 5 now? It was 0 to 10.
No, it's been 0 to 5 all episode, dude.
Oh, well, I give the other one 5.5, so.
Yeah, that's
fine.
Whatever. We can do we can do 0 to 10. That's fine.
I can do both. But anyway, out of, you know, 10, I'd give it 8 out of 5, 4. So it was quite good. And again, like, the SmackDown pay-per-views have been good.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to give it about, well, since we already went to 10, we might as well. I'm going to give it like a 7.5, 8, somewhere around there. I enjoyed it. There were a couple of snoozers, but I really, really did enjoy it. So, people, it's time to go to hell.
For the first time ever,
I'm the queen of the WWE.
We will have a women's match.
Check yourself. That is my title.
Inside the Hell in a Cell.
It's never been done before.
I will go to hell and back and risk it all.
Charlotte, Sasha, make history.
See you in hell.
Now, WWE 2K17, the video game presents WWE Hell in a Cell.
All right, finally up here in the lightning round, round two here, we've got Hell in a Cell 2016. This is the second Raw exclusive pay-per-view. We kicked off with Cedric Alexander, Lince Dorado, and Sin Cara defeating Tony Nese, Drew Gulak, and Aria Devarayukan.
It's Devari. His brother Devari works for the company.
Okay.
Well, anyway, all really talented guys. I really like Tony Nese and Devari as well. Cedric Alexander's fantastic. But yeah, the cruiserweights have been... None of them have had really any individual time, and so the crowd was kind of half asleep for this, although it worked as a kickoff match. And yeah, it sucks. I like all these guys. I like a lot of the cruiserweights, and a lot of them are excellent in terms of putting on really good matches. But yeah, this is...
And I believe, again, if the WWE website is correct, we started off with the United States Championship Hell in a Cell match. Roman Reigns defeating Rusev. I want to see these guys in a Hell in a Cell match more often. This was awesome.
I felt like it worked way better than the previous match.
Absolutely.
The only thing that was weird is, how is the accolade on the stairs supposed to hurt more? I know that happened on Raw, but it's one of those questions I've always had. Like,
maybe because the body is contorted in a different way than it would be just in flat in the ring.
Yeah, or they just can't come up with a decent enough reason. By the way, if we get these out of order, the site I usually use doesn't have the results. No, it's fine. It's not your fault. Like I said, the site I usually use doesn't have results for Hell in a Cell for some reason. So like if these are out of order, it's because we're both using WWE.com this time.
You would think that the company's own website would get the shit right, folks. I mean, come on, this isn't our fault. And like I said, I'm not moving anyway.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure this is right. Yeah, but anyway, this was a really good match on a night that had a lot of really good matches. So
man, Hell in a Cell kicked ass. All right. I love seeing Roman versus Rusev because it's something we've never really seen. I mean, we've seen other types of matches like this with these two people, and I'm not talking about just the Hell in a Cell, just matches in general. But I just love seeing Roman going up against Rusev because look at Roman's WWE career. He's faced Brock, he's faced John, he's faced AJ, he's faced, you know, he did the whole Shield breakup and everything else, and just absolutely love seeing Roman versus Rusev. I thought that was great.
And they're letting Roman grow organically, so it doesn't feel like he's being crammed down our throats as much. So I think people are latching on to him better. Like, if they had done this with him in the first place, he'd be in a much better place.
Did they boo him again when he came out?
I think at this point, though, it's because it's kind of fun to boo him. Like, okay. I don't think it's because we hate you anymore.
Okay.
Maybe I'm wrong, but that's the sense I'm getting. Having said that, I'll know more after Sunday, because, I mean, I'll be there.
We're going to talk about the fact that you're going
to so, I'll be able to see or feel, like, whether or not that's the case.
We're going to talk about all about your WWE weekend extravaganza in the closing of the show, so we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Yeah.
Next up, we had Bayley versus Miss Piggy. I'm sorry, that's an insult to Miss Piggy. At one point, Sasha called Dana Brooke Miss Piggy, and this was on a Raw episode, and I'm like, why are you insulting Miss Piggy? So, Bayley versus Dana Brooke. Again, I love Bayley. I love her style. I just love everything about her since she's been in WWE. I know she had a huge following in NXT and everything else. But Dana is another one of those women on the Raw roster that I'm like, what are you doing with her? Why is she still here? And, you know, you're probably going to tell me she's just here to have people win matches. You know.
Yeah, I mean, she's a mid-carder. She's done fairly well. The issue is that she still just needs more time and seasoning. Mm-hmm. I don't think she's bad or anything. I think she just needs more time. And they're slowly, like, I feel like they're kind of doing the right thing with her now. They exposed her a bit in this match because, A, Bayley's really good, and B, the match was too short to tell anything of a story. Right. So that was a mistake. But, I mean, you know, having her only appear every, like, couple weeks or so is pretty... That's not a bad thing. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. Like I say, they're kind of pushing her along, and that's what they need to do. So,
yeah. Looking ahead past the New Day's, you know, future record breaking, and we're not talking about the New Day just yet, but I want to talk about the next match here. But I want to just looking ahead, maybe past WrestleMania 33 and almost up to 34. At some point between now and the time of WrestleMania 34, I want to see, number one, Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson have the tag team belts at some point. And then I do eventually want to see Enzo and Cass have them. Because I love Enzo and Cass. I actually love both these tag teams. And seeing them go up against each other, first of all, Enzo's mic work is always just beyond superb. People who don't know how to use the mic so well in WWE need to take lessons from Enzo Amore, folks. Say what you will about his gimmick, about the how you doing, you know, say what you want about that, but man, that guy could teach people how to talk.
Yeah, he's one of the best on the mic I've seen in a long time. And just...
He's probably the best on the mic on Raw currently.
Yeah, which is surprising because, like, man, they've got a lot of guys who are known for that, but holy cow.
Mm-hmm. But the match itself, Gallows and Anderson defeat Enzo and Big Cass. I like seeing these four work. I really do.
Yeah, I just kind of feel bad for Enzo and Cass, who seem a bit lost.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. WWE, whether it's Raw or SmackDown, Raw more than SmackDown a little bit, I think, at this point, because Shane and Daniel Bryan actually know what the hell they're doing. Raw just seems to shuffle people. Like, they'll want to give somebody a push, and then they'll drag them back down, and then they'll go somewhere. It's all over the place with Raw, right? I'll say this now, and people are going to basically shit their pants when I say this. I always thought SmackDown was the joke show because at one point, you know, 20 years ago, it was the joke show for a long time. Like the late 90s into the early to mid 2000s, SmackDown to me was always the joke jobbery type of show. And Raw was the superior brand at this point. By the time of Hell in a Cell, I think Raw is doing excellent things, but overall as a show... SmackDown for me is, I enjoy that more than watching Raw. I still enjoy them both, but SmackDown is just a half, you know, like a half a hair or whatever higher. Again, like I said, I like Gallows and Anderson and Enzo and Cass working together. And then we had the WWE Universal Championship Hell in a Cell match. Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins versus Chris Jericho.
And this was kind of weird placement for it, but it actually worked, by the way.
Oh, it worked.
And this match worked so much better than the other one. So we had Jericho, like, sneak in when the ref was...
distracted.
You know, well, no, he was... knocked out. This one got injured, yeah.
Yeah.
And so they had to get another ref and everything, and Jericho, like, comes in and locks himself in with Rollins. But, I mean, a lot of those... everybody did really good work here, and a lot of the spots worked really well. I'm really torn between this match and the finale, as I lose my voice. Jeez. As for like what my favorite match of the night was.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you had the two table spots where Rollins powerbombed Owens through the two tables. Owens powerbombs Rollins through two open chairs to win.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this was a fun match.
Yeah, this was a super fun match. Absolutely loved it. Then we had the Cruiserweight Division Championship match with Brian Kendrick versus TJ Perkins, and Brian wins this one. Again, I'm sorry, folks, but I kind of tune out when it comes to the Cruiserweight stuff. I know I shouldn't, but... I just kind of do. Like, I have no idea where these storylines are supposed to be going.
And that's the problem. Like, that's WWE's fault, unfortunately. Yeah. And it makes me feel really bad for the wrestlers.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But yeah, you're not wrong. I mean,
then, before the main event, we have the Raw Tag Team Championship match. Shameful Caesar? I don't know. Come up with a nickname for the two of them. But Cesaro and Sheamus versus The New Day. They defeat The New Day via disqualification. So The New Day retain regardless.
Yeah, which we kind of knew. I don't know how much legs the whole Cesaro-Sheamus pairing's going to have, especially when they can't win the title, because we know, you know, they want The New Day to hold the belts. Now, they get a bit of a reprieve with Survivor Series, because the focus is all of a sudden on teams and stuff rather than the belts.
Yeah.
Like, all of the feuds and everything involving belts have kind of sort of been held off, even though some of them are being defended there. So, but yeah, it's tough because, like, there's all these tag teams that are very good and have done a really good job, and WWE wants to push them and wants us to care about them, but they can't win the ultimate prize because they're so set in making sure that they break a record that I don't feel like needs to be broken. Like, do we need to erase all of these old records? We had Nikki Bella. Now, granted, it wasn't an old record, but still, she beats the AJ Lee record, and we knew forever that she was going to beat it.
Yeah.
And now we have Demolition getting erased from the record books, which kind of sucks because they're one of the all-time greats.
It just seems like, I said earlier in the show here, and you just said it now, it seems like WWE cares more about breaking records than wins and losses. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. And then the final match of the night was the Raw Women's Championship Hell in a Cell match. When the hell was the last time a Women's Championship match closed a pay-per-view? I don't even remember. Never, really?
Yeah, this was the first time ever.
Wow.
And it's the first ever Women's Hell in a Cell match. And yeah, was it good.
It was so good.
I was surprised, and I was worried, because Sasha has the... she tends to take risks she probably shouldn't, and I figured with Hell in a Cell we'd see something completely ridiculous, and there were some, you know, pretty rough spots. Certainly I would be writhing around in agony after one of them, much less all of the ones they did. Yeah. But they kept it, like, it was mostly safe. Like, it seemed like nobody, you know, botched anything major or had any real injuries after it, and it all looked good. Like, I'm trying to think of, like, the nicest, best way to put this. I'll just say it. Like, one of the knocks, especially through the Divas era, was most of them weren't wrestlers, and they didn't look like wrestlers. But, man, like, this match was pretty much spot for spot and, like, hardcore move for hardcore move, like the Owens-Rollins match. And those are two of the best wrestlers in all of wrestling today.
Yeah.
And the two women, like, managed to match and surpass them on a lot of it. Like, it was a really good match, so I'm really impressed to see it. It's a sign that, like, the women's wrestlers can be taken seriously and can actually do things and have storylines with them, whereas like, a lot of the Divas bullshit was just terrible, and it was... Yeah. You know, oh, you said something mean about me, or, oh, Nikki's sister's got to be her, you know, assistant.
I liked the rivalry between Brie and Nikki a little bit.
Yeah, but then they forgot about it.
Yeah, well, it's...
Like, that wasn't the bad part. The bad part is the fact that they would give these women these storylines and then just not develop them or just drop it a week later. Like...
Yep.
They weren't taken seriously, so why should we as the audience take it seriously? But now you've got all these really great wrestlers, and they're actually being given time. And then there's, I was critical about Charlotte early on. Mm-hmm. And man, like I said earlier, she's just improved so much.
Well, the reason I think why she's improved so much is because she doesn't have Daddy holding her hand anymore.
Yeah.
And I think that's why you were complaining last time we talked about her, because Rick was still around, you know, dealing with, you know, the interference.
And that's a hell of a shadow to have to sit in.
Oh, it is. But I think she's...
He might be the greatest wrestler of all time, and you've got to, like, come out to the ring with him. Oh, yeah, that's easy.
Yeah, really. Absolutely. All right, folks, so that's the lightning rounds. They're done. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back to talk about what's happening next for Mayhem Mikes. We're also going to be talking about Ryan's journey to his own version of Survivor Series. So we'll be back after this.
It's action. It's drama. It's comedy. It's DeCian, the superhero webcomic. DeCian's got superhero antics and sexy girls. Read it now at DeCian.com. DASIEN.com.
All right, folks, we are back here on Mayhem Mikes, and it's episode 14 of Mayhem Mikes. We kind of... Technically, this should have been like episode 16 or 17, since we talked about four pay-per-views in this, but whatever. I kind of like this a little bit better, because I'm going on vacation in December, so I'm not sure if we're going to be talking about the December pay-per-views while I'm on vacation in California for Christmas. But episode 15 will be Survivor Series. This is Raw versus SmackDown, team versus team. And you're actually going there. You're actually going to the NXT pay-per-view. Yeah. And so tell us all about that.
I mean, both are being held in Toronto, so it's not too far from me. So I'm just taking a bus down, which because I've... oh man, am I burnt out on flying? I fly a fair amount, and so I had no urge to fly. So I can do 5 hours on a bus standing on my head. But anyway, yeah, so I mean, I get to go to both. I'm really excited for both. The NXT pay-per-view matches should be really good. I'm super excited to, for the first time in my life, see Samoa Joe in person. So, I mean, man, like, that whole card, I really like a lot of the guys. For my money, Dash and Dawson, the Revival, are absolutely the best tag team right now. They've put on like insane matches. And then I absolutely love Shinsuke Nakamura, and he's in a match against Joe. Like, that should be outstanding. So yeah, there's a bunch of things. Get to see, well, sadly Austin Aries is injured, but I'll get to see a number like Bobby Roode and some of these guys I've never seen before live. So yeah, it should be great. And then for the actual, for Survivor Series, man, I get to see Goldberg Lesnar.
Yeah.
That's not bad. I mean, I hope, you know, Goldberg can go. Like, you know, he's, 50 years old, I think.
How old is Brock?
Brock's in his 40s.
Yeah. Oh.
So, I mean, they're not as young as their previous match, which wasn't great because they were both on their way out. It wasn't horrible either. I feel like people are too hard on it. But anyway, yeah, I get to see that. Excited to see some of the Survivor Series matches. I don't know. The number of guys in some of these matches, I feel like, is going to make it less interesting, because I mean, we've got the tag match, which is basically like 10 on 10.
See, I wish this was what's it called, the one I talked about last time where they don't have to tag.
Like Tornado.
Tornado tag. Yeah, I think it should have been Tornado tag rules, where you could see all of them basically beating each other, basically a full-on melee. So here's two things that both I and Dot expect you to do. Number one, for me, I expect you to take lots of pictures, because you're only going to be 9 rows from the ring.
Yeah, so that's true. I should probably do that.
I expect lots of pictures so I can put in episode 15's podcast post at least some of them. And Dot wants you to bring a sign.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to happen. I mean, I'm going to have to see, like, where we are and stuff. My hotel's, like, really close to...
Yeah.
Close to the ACC, so it's not like it'll take me long to get there.
So here's the deal, folks. We're going to talk about Raw and SmackDown here in a bit, here in a minute here, but As I said, episode 15 may or may not be the last Mayhem Mics for 2016. I just don't know yet. The whole point of going on vacation, even though I will have internet access, is not, you know, to actually be on the internet. It's to be enjoying the vacation. So I'm not sure what's going to happen with that. But Raw and SmackDown, since the brand split, since the first two pay-per-view split, man, both shows, sometimes Raw really is great and I enjoy it. And sometimes it's not. Like, it just feels like they don't care.
Yeah, and the 3 hours still hurts.
Yeah, well, see, for me, I don't even get the 3 hours.
That's true, yeah.
Because I watch it on Hulu. I watch the recaps on Hulu, and looking at the Hulu stuff, let me just look here. You know, I get probably an hour. You know, maybe an hour and a half, maybe. I'm not even sure.
You probably cut out another half hour from it.
Well, I'm trying to look here. No. Watch Again, Season 24, Episode 1225, from Monday, November 14th, 1 hour, 30 minutes exactly. So I get an hour and a half of Raw instead of the full 3 hours. But even an hour and a half now feels like it's too long. The reason why I say it feels like it's too long, it depends on who's, at what point in the show the segments are, or how they arrange the show of what to start with, what's in the middle, and what to end with. But SmackDown, oh man, I'm loving SmackDown. Mainly because I want to see Shane succeed. I like Stephanie and all. She's fine. She's great. But I think it's SmackDown's time. Oh boy, people are going to kill me for this joke. Kind of fitting though, since John's on SmackDown, the time is now for SmackDown. But
it's just been better writing. It feels like people have direction and that kind of thing, and that's been the difference.
Absolutely. What are your opinions before we get out of here? What are your opinions on the whole James Ellsworth thing? I know we talked about it briefly last time.
I feel like
it's
run its course. I know it's.
I think after Survivor Series with him being the mascot, it'll be done.
I hope so. And you know, it's no offense to him. It's just. This sort of storyline, it's a bit like the Slater thing. It's kind of got an expiration date, so...
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. So that's Mayhem Mics, the supersized episode 14 for Backlash and No... Backlash, Clash of Champions, No Mercy, and Hell in a Cell. We hope you guys enjoyed it. Join us next time for Survivor Series, where I really hope Goldberg beats Brock. I don't know if it'll happen or not, but I really hope it will. And the one thing, you know, we were talking about how good some of these people are on the mic. Goldberg.
Yeah, holy cow. I don't remember him ever being that good.
Like, okay, so in the Raw this past week, because we're recording this like the Friday night before Survivor Series, this is actually going to go up the Monday after Survivor Series, and then we'll record Survivor Series the following Friday and whatever else. So here's the thing, folks. The Raw Go Home show leading up to Survivor Series, they had this whole thing of, hey, bring all the security down. Get them in the ring. We need a wall of security between Goldberg and Lesnar. And, of course, I don't care what anybody says, I like Paul Heyman. He's all right. I admire that man. For how, you know, we talk about Mike losing his voice every now and then and things like that, because currently Dodd is kind of, you know, sick, and he told me he was losing his voice. I would, the one thing, if I ever got an interview with Paul Heyman, the one thing I'd ask him, other than, you know, what was it like to work with everybody he's worked with, how the hell does he take care of his voice? Because he does the Brock Lesnar thing all the time, and every time it's different variations of it, but that has to kill his vocal cords. So you had Goldberg and Brock. In between was all these security guys. You had Paul trying to do his you know, regular promos that he always does. And Goldberg just comes on there and just, shut up. I love, like, like I was saying, that's one thing about this past Raw that we just had before Survivor Series that I just absolutely loved. I thought that was so fun. Oh, man. Goldberg. It's kind of nice to have him back.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, and again, like, I'm the only concern I have is, can he still go? Yeah. Will the match be any good? And also, like, the obvious one, you know, I don't want to see him get hurt, obviously, because Lesnar's not the safest guy, obviously.
Yeah, even though WWE has been in the PG era for the longest time now, I think ever since they changed the name from WWF to WWE, even though they are in the PG era now, and there are certain things that come out, whether somebody says hell or damn or, you know, whatever. And there are certain things where they want everyone to wrestle safe. You can do high risk things, but make sure, you know, you do them safely. And these guys, all these men and women train immensely when they're not on television or doing house shows and things like that. So I understand Brock's not the safest guy in the world, but isn't that supposed to be a part of his thing? Like, he just doesn't give a shit.
It is, but obviously, you know, I don't want to see anybody get hurt. That's the,
yeah.
Like, there's a line there, and sometimes he's crossed it. Like, some of his suplexes, the guy just lands flat or just, like, gets hammered on his neck. Like,
yeah.
You know, obviously you don't want that to happen.
And the one last thing we have to talk about is the end of the SmackDown go-home show for Survivor Series. Because, oh my God. Ladies and gentlemen, when you hear that bell toll, it's just, to me, it's just bone-chilling.
That was one of his better promos in a long time, too.
Oh my God! Like, Undertaker!
It almost seemed like I think the time off has done him well.
Yeah,
which I guess going forward is kind of a concern. Like, he seemed to hint that he was going to be back on
more regular basis, but not full
time.
Yeah,
I hope. Well, you know, yeah. I just hope he doesn't like try to do too much or something like that. Like,
so all right, so we got Survivor Series. What are the ones for December? Do you know off the top of your head?
No.
No.
Okay. Sorry.
So we got Survivor Series coming up this weekend. I'm trying to think of what are the other ones that are coming up after Survivor Series. So, because if he's coming back at Survivor Series, okay, we got Survivor Series, and then December 4th and December 18th is TLC and Roadblock. So instead of roadblocking WrestleMania this year, they're roadblocking the Royal Rumble. Wow, weird. So, the way I see The Undertaker, if he's going to come back in a semi-regular basis, debut at Survivor Series, because he's always been kind of, you know, the whole, you know, survival of the fittest kind of thing.
Survivor Series is also, like, the debut show for a lot of people. I wouldn't be surprised to see Samoa Joe or some of the others show up there, just because they usually, like, they really like to have people debut there or at the Rumble.
Yep. Here are the events I think Taker could be at. Okay, so you got Survivor Series, which we know he's confirmed to be there. Royal Rumble, maybe. Not the Royal Rumble match specifically, but a match at that pay-per-view. Obviously, Shawn Michaels might be Mr. WrestleMania, but let's face it, folks, Undertaker has built his career around whenever you hear about The Undertaker, folks, if you don't hear WrestleMania in the same friggin' sentence, then it's just not The Undertaker or WrestleMania, you know. So, WrestleMania, and then maybe SummerSlam? Because, okay, so WrestleMania, according to the Wikipedia.org article, and again, take this with a grain of salt, so according to this, WrestleMania 33 is happening April 2nd, 2017. SummerSlam is happening August 20th, 2017. And Survivor Series is November 19th next year. So I could see Taker this year's Survivor Series, Royal Rumble doing something, WrestleMania again, one of his high value, you know, matches, SummerSlam, same thing, and then again going back. So let's see. First Survivor Series, Royal Rumble is 2, WrestleMania 3, basically 5 pay-per-views in 1 year. And Wikipedia does not have every single, like, they don't have the February pay-per-views listed. They don't have the May, June, July pay-per-views listed. So who knows what other things are going to have, you know, what other, because, and none of these pay-per-views are branded yet on Wikipedia. Like, you know, they do have the branded ones that we've already had, but now they, because it's all to be determined. So I could see him doing 5 pay-per-views a year. That wouldn't be that, especially if they're, you know, spaced out, you know, 3 or 4 months, you know, between each other.
I don't know. And then with, you know, WrestleMania this year, again, as usual, the question is, does he stay after WrestleMania? I mean, is this the last one? Like, WrestleMania's got to be his last match. I mean, I don't necessarily mean this year. I'm just saying, like, in general, when he wrestles his last match, I would be amazed if it's not a WrestleMania match.
Yeah. See, I think, okay, so he's, was it this year or last year that he had 25 years? Wasn't it?
Oh, man.
No, but they made this whole, I think it was last Survivor Series where they said, hey, celebrating 25 years of Undertaker. So what I'd like to see, honestly, if he could last to WrestleMania 35 and then that be his, basically, you know, swan song. Because that guy's how old now? He's in his 50s, 60s?
He's got to be, yeah, 50s, I would think.
I mean, he's up there, but he's not totally, completely gone. You know. Let me see here.
Yeah, I assume we're both looking it up, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's 51. He's
51. I mean, the guy looks amazing for 51, so I would say he probably has... And he looks, every time I see him in the ring, he looks that he's, you know, in great shape. I don't know if it's the fact that he, you know, obviously plans for that and whatever else. So, I mean, I would say maybe another 2 or 3 years if they use him sparingly, which they usually always use him sparingly anyway. But I do want to see him at least maybe, including WrestleMania, at least maybe 2 other matches per year, so maybe 3 matches a year. So, I don't know.
I mean, this is on the heels of, we had pictures that, you know, had him in crutches, and he did not look great, and then he looked really good on SmackDown, so... we'll see. I have no idea. It's all going to depend on how he feels after whatever his next match ends up being. I mean,
yeah.
It very much, I would think, is going to be kind of match to match with him.
Yeah. Yep. Any other final words you'd like to say before we get the hell out of here?
No. Looking forward to this weekend, obviously. So.
Yeah. Survivor Series. What's the NXT pay-per-view called?
TakeOver Toronto.
Oh, are they all called TakeOver?
Yeah, it's NXT TakeOver and then the place. So.
Oh, okay.
All right. Yeah, it seems to work.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so we got NXT TakeOver Toronto. We got Survivor Series. And, you know, you'll hear our thoughts and Ryan's experience with going to those next time on Mayhem Mikes. Hopefully Mike Dodd will be back in episode 15 of Mayhem Mikes. Hopefully... you know, Ursula has given him his voice back, so. Oh, come on, people. It's a Little Mermaid joke. Damn.
What do you mean, people? I'm the only one that can hear you right now.
I know, but still. All right, folks, we're going to get the hell out of here. See you next time here on Mayhem Mikes. We will catch you later.
Later.
When we go out to eat, we never agree on where to go.
I want burgers!
Pizza!
Tacos it is.
The one thing we do agree on is we all want unlimited high-speed data. That's why we switched to MetroPCS.
Stop by MetroPCS with the whole family and get 4 lines with unlimited LTE data for just $100, period. MetroPCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Offers require port and a number not currently active on T-Mobile network. During congestion, the fraction of customers using more than 35 gigs per month may notice reduced speeds. Video streams at up to 40p. No tethering. See store for details and terms and conditions.
When we go out to eat, we never agree on where to go.
I want burgers!
Pizza!
Tacos it is.
The one thing we do agree on is we all want unlimited high-speed data. That's why we switched to MetroPCS.
Stop by MetroPCS with the whole family and get four lines with unlimited LTE data for just $100, period. MetroPCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Offers require port and a number not currently active on T-Mobile network. During congestion, the fraction of customers using more than 35 gigs per month may notice reduced speeds. Video streams at up to 40p. No tethering. See store for details and terms and conditions.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
The internet can be your window to the world, or an open door that lets cyber criminals in. Online theft, webcam spying, and identity fraud are all on the rise. But you can stay safe with Kaspersky Lab, the world's most awarded internet security. Kaspersky protects your money, privacy, identity, and data with technology perfected over 20 years. So keep exploring. Kaspersky Lab will keep you safe online. Learn more at Kaspersky.com.